We are going to go through, rather we are going through a series on connecting with God. Alright? And we're going to talk about our five senses. Those of you who don't already know. We're going to talk about five senses. So the last couple of weeks we've been talking about sight. Alright? There are certain things that we need to think about when you think about sight and how that is so important in connecting with God. So we're going to talk about, you know, hearing today. And maybe for about 3 weeks, we're going to talk about hearing. Then after that, we're going to talk about touch. What other senses do we have? Taste, smell. Okay? We're going to talk about all that in light of Scripture and what that has to do with us in the year of connection. So turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 18 talks about Elijah and how he has this confrontation with, you know, the prophets of Baal. Alright, and we see God works a powerful miracle. Okay, he challenges all these prophets and, you know, God shows himself. And then, you know, he prophesies. But what happens in chapter 19 is this. Now, we need to understand the background. Okay, go back and read. No time to talk about chapter 18. Okay, go back and read this tremendous miracle, the demonstration of power of God that happens in chapter 18. Chapter 19 begins with Ahab, the king, and Jezebel. You know, this Jezebel hears of what has happened with Elijah. And, you know, she declares that, okay, I'm going to whack this guy up. I'm going to kill him, not just whack him, okay? I'm going to kill this guy for messing things up. And so, chapter 19, we see that Elijah actually runs away. Right? After this great encounter, this great power demonstration, there was not even any confrontation with Jezebel, you know, he just heard. Messenger came and said, you know, the queen said this, you know, she's going to kill you. And because of that, he runs away. Okay, this, some people say, you know, be careful of the woman. The woman says something, you better run away. Maybe they got it from here, I don't know. You know, but this man of God, powerful man of God, runs away. He runs for his life when he hears that Jezebel is after him. And he runs, hides in a cave. Even that, there is a miracle that happens. You know, he's been running and God, he wakes up. Chapter 19. He wakes up, beside him, you know, there's cooked food. And God say, eat. Journey is going to be long. He eats some and then goes to sleep, falls asleep. God wakes him up a second time. Eat some more. How do you like that? Huh? Jason, I'm sure you like that. Sleep, then God wake you up. Hey, food ready for you. Eat. Eat ready, go back to sleep. God wake you up. Eat some more. Because it's a long journey ahead. That's what happened to him. You know. So we're going to read from, but that's not what we're going to talk about. We're not going to talk about eating, okay? We're going to talk about listening to God, okay? So we're going to fast forward, verse 19, alright? Then he came to a cave and lodged in it. Okay, I'm reading from the ESV. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God comes to him and says, what are you doing here? And then he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go out and stand in the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Or in some versions, a gentle whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, you know, he repeats the whole thing, "I have been zealous for the Lord of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, killed your prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go return to the way in the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael the king over Syria," and so on and so forth. All right. We're not going to go into that, but I just want to us to focus on those couple of verses that the Lord comes in different forms. All right. He's there. He's resting. He's, you know, the God comes to him. And he asks him, "What are you doing here?" And then Elijah explains, you know, what he thinks is the case, right, his whole predicament. And then God said to him in verse 11, and our focus is here, "Go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains, broke it to pieces," and so on and so forth. All right. Now, God comes in different forms. Now, the NIV, can we just go to the NIV? The NIV says this. God stand, and then a great powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. Now, where is God? Where's the Lord at that point of time? When this, you know, great wind, tornado or whatever came. Was he around? Where? In heaven, resting, sitting on his throne. Look at the previous verse. It says, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." If you read the American Standard, it gives us a, you know, little bit clearer. American Standard says, it says, "Go forth, stand upon the mount before Jehovah," ASV, "and behold, Jehovah passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains." I've read this passage, I've heard, you know, many people share this, that, you know, there was Elijah, he's in the cave, right? And he hears God, God tells him, "Go and stand in, have a look, okay? Go to the mouth of the mountain, rather the cave. Go out and have a look." And then he stands there and this tornado comes. This mighty wind rips everything out. But where's God? God's not there. It's just the wind. Mm-mm. God's there. All right? But the Bible tells us he's not in the wind. And then, what happens after the wind? There was a earthquake. But God's not in the earthquake. And then there was fire. And God is not in the fire. You know, there are many things in our life. We hear God, right? Elijah hears God. Go stand out there. Alright? God wants to give Elijah instructions. But he does something with him, you know. Very interesting. You know, he calls Elijah, "Elijah, what are you doing here? Go stand up. I'm going to come." And he wants to give Elijah instructions, right? And we read later on, you know, some of the instructions that he gave Elijah. And Elijah goes out, stands at the mount, at the entrance. And there's this, you know, mighty wind that comes. God's not there, not in the wind. God's not in the earthquake. And then there's fire. God's not in the fire. Very clearly the Bible tells us that. Today we're going to talk about listening. Okay? or rather using our ears, hearing God, right? And here's a typical example of some of the things that happen when we want to try to hear what God is saying. God calls us, you say, okay, go. And then certain things happen, you know. Certain exciting things happen. We see a tornado come. And the Bible tells us, you know, it rips the rocks, the mountains also gone. No? Right, so this is a massive, powerful wind that comes and begins to rip the mountain. And he's standing there and nothing happens. And then an earthquake happens. Now, these are natural things, okay? Many times in our life, in our Christian walk, we can want to hear God, but then we can get distracted by the things that are around, natural things that are around. Was God present? Yes, God was present. But he's not in the wind. He's there. He's passing by. But he's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. Right? Behold, Jehovah passed. Okay, ASV. I'm just flipping versions here. A great strong wind rent the mountains, broke in pieces the rocks before Jehovah, but Jehovah was not in the wind. After that, an earthquake, he was not in the earthquake. Natural disasters, so to speak, that can happen, natural things that can happen, and sometimes we can be distracted by it. Where's God? We look at the wrong places, God's not there. And then something happens, there is fire. Now it's left up to our imagination how that comes. Because the Bible is unclear. Whether there was a pillar of fire that came down, you know, lightning, you know, some people say fire, you know, maybe it was there was already a thunderstorm going, okay, tornado was strong winds, earthquake, and then obviously lightning lah. Alright? Maybe. Not clear. Okay? I mean, it could be a pillar of fire coming down, it could be the earth open up since got earthquake already, a fire come out, you know, your imagination just let it go lah. It doesn't matter. Okay? To me, it doesn't matter. There is something supernatural happening. There was fire. But God's not in the fire. You know, sometimes we can say, God, I want to hear you. And then we prep ourselves. Okay, go out there and, you know, okay, God, you're going to pass by. I want to hear you. But then we get distracted by things that are around. And sometimes it could be even be things that seem supernatural. God can use those things, God can orchestrate those things, but then does he want us to focus on those things? You know, as I was thinking about this message, we just came back from a huge conference, and you know, a lot of times when we go to conference, we can get distracted. We can get distracted by, you know, a lot of hype. We can get distracted by the man and miss what God is saying. Alright? And here Elijah, he was standing there and God's not there. God's not there. He's around. He orchestrated the tornado and the earthquake and the fire. He made that happen. But he was not there. And then the Bible says that after the fire, there was a still, small voice. A gentle whisper. Or lowly voice that came. Quiet, gentle whisper. And God was right there. He came as a still small voice. Today we ask ourselves this question. How are we hearing God? How are we hearing God? The first thing that I like us to take note is, you know, sometimes we expect God to speak in a certain way. We expect, you know, fire and brimstone, lightning. God, if you want to speak to me, this is how you must speak to me. You know? You wake up, I walk out, there it is, a scripture in the sky. How many of you prayed for things like that? God, I don't need to put up that. Okay. You'll be amazing, right? You'll be amazing. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. When I walk out, the clouds form words that only I can see, nobody else can see. You take your Bible, open by itself. God, your leaders tell you don't open and then point, right? Huh? Open by itself. And then the scripture jump up. Can or not? Can God do that? Can, God can do that. Does it happen? Maybe lah. Pray some more. I don't know. But sometimes we look for things. We look for God in, you know, the supernatural. We look for great stuff. We look for someone to come and say, thus saith the Lord. You know, we are walking down the street, go to the supermarket, someone will come to us, call our name, you know, tell us our IC number, and then say, God said this to you. Doesn't happen normally. God comes in a still, small voice. And we need to prepare ourselves to be able to hear that. We need to prepare ourselves to be able to hear that. Turn with me to Revelation. And I'm going to, this phrase is found throughout scripture. You know, you see Jesus mentioning this in many of the, in fact, all the gospels. He mentions this, but this is very clear in Revelation chapter 2, when Jesus talks about, or talks to the different churches, all right, and he gives a description, all right, of the church. And at the end of every church, he says about the same thing. He says this, all right, Revelation chapter 2, he begins with the church in Ephesus, all right, we're not going to go into that. But then verse 7, he says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And then he goes on, next church, verse 11. At the conclusion, he says this again. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says. Then the next church, seven churches altogether. And then at the end, same thing. Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He was addressing the churches, right? We as a church, we as God's people need to be hearing what God is saying. You want to be connected to God, we said that there are three areas that we need to connect, right? Year of connection. What are they? One, connect to God, alright? We use a C word, Christ, okay? You need to connect to Christ. Secondly, we need to be connected to the church. Thirdly, we need to be connected to the community, right? And so, if we want to be connected with God, we need to be hearing what He's saying. He was an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Let him hear what the Spirit says. For a long time I asked this question, what's the difference between hearing and listening? What's the difference between hear and listen? You're right when you say that. Listening has to do with, you know, that effort. Okay, because you can hear something without trying to listen. Correct? So I'm not trying to listen and then, you know, we hear a car bang the pillar or something like that. You hear it, don't know what it is. We are not focused on listening, okay, but we hear it. If you want to listen to something, you have to hear it. The way I see it is like that. Listening, has, has to do with a deliberate. I'm looking out for something. Right? You can listen to music. What are you looking out for? The melody or whatever. Right? So, that's the process of wanting to hear something. Okay? The hearing is when whatever sound waves goes here, hits our eardrum, and doesn't, for some of us, go inside here, come out here, right? Hits our eardrum, and something happens. Whether you're aware of it or not, whether you deliberately listen or not, when you hear, something happens. Okay. Many people can try to listen, but they don't hear. You encounter that. If you have a hearing problem, right? Heck, I'll be speaking than you hear things, right? You're trying to listen carefully and you hear, what do you hear? You hear gibberish. I think that when Jesus said, he has an ear, let him hear. I believe that it has to do with the end result. You already receive it. When you hear it, you already receive it. When you say, listen, that's the act. But when you hear it, you received it already. And many times we can try to listen, even register. All of us have ears, right? I mean, unless, you know, something happened. And so when Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear, it is almost as good as saying that you have to hear, you know, why? Because you have ears, right? Right? You have to register what's happening. It's got to come to you. It's almost by default saying, hey, if you don't hear it, something is wrong. He who has an ear, let him hear. Receive it. That means receive it, you know. Something happens. The thing is, some of us in the physical, in the natural, we have problem with our hearing. I mean, I'm one of them. I got some hearing problem. That's why a lot of times I say, you know, speak louder. Need hearing aid already. In the natural. In the spirit, sometimes that happens to us. God gives us hearing aids. His spirit. His spirit not only speaks, but the Bible tells us his spirit helps us understand. Teaches us all things. And what is that? That's hearing aid. Well, before I go into that, I ask ourselves this question. The first thing that we need to understand is, well, God doesn't always come the way we want to hear him. You know, he's not always in the, oh, let me hear you. Speak to me like this. The second thing is this. You know, what God is concerned with is not just the process of wanting to listen, but actually getting it. Actually hearing what he has to say. Because when we hear, a response is necessary. When you hear, a response is necessary. if you hear screeching outside, and you hear a big bang, you do something about it. At the least, you would stand up, look out the window and see what happened. Some of us take further steps. Run downstairs, you know, call ambulance, whatever, you know. If the car banged into the pillar. Right? When you hear something, a response is required. When God says, he who has an ear, let him hear, a response is required. Don't just, in here, out there, hollow one. In one side, out one side. But God says, when it goes in, when you hear something, a response. What is the response that we need when we hear? But then we ask the question, he who has an ear, do we all have ears? It's assumed that we do. Why are we then not hearing? Maybe because we need some hearing aids. And there are certain things in our life that are not right. Yeah, Ruth say need to clean your ears. Maybe. There's some dirt in there that needs to be cleared out. But something is not right when we are not hearing. Because God assumes that if we are in the Spirit, we will hear. So what does it take then? We ask the third question. What does it take for us to begin to hear what God is saying? This is the year of connection. The answer is obvious. We need to stay connected. Right? We came back from this conference and, the band was telling us some of the things that they do. One of the things that this band does is they have in-ear monitors. Okay? In-ear monitors. When I get my hearing aid, when? Unless the Lord heals me. I'm almost gone already, one side. Alright. I think it's pretty cool, right? Yes. Walk around with something there. Anyway, so this band, they all have in-ear monitors. Right? So, now this is a monitor, you sing, you hear what you're singing. And because I'm so far away from the guitar, you know, I hear the guitar here as well. And especially when you go to a big stage, right, the monitor is so important. And to be able to hear yourself is important. Why? So that we can be in sync. But the other thing that happens with these guys, with the in-ear monitor, is that there is a metronome going at the back that the house does not hear. Okay? So, they sing a song, "How Great is Our God." In their ear is going, tick, 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 so that everybody keeps time. When we have this aid, a few things happen to us. When we are able to ask the Spirit of God, "Spirit of God, I cannot hear you properly. I need you to teach me so that I can hear you." And when we are all doing that, certain things happen. One is we all keep time. Meaning to say that when we are hearing God, we know what God is doing. We know the times and the seasons. Like the tribe of Issachar, right? Who understood the times and the seasons. And so every single one of us, it is assumed, right, that we should be hearing God. We should be hearing what the Spirit of God says. And so as a church, as a body of Christ, we understand God's timing. We are keeping step with what God is doing. Galatians chapter 5 says, since we are in the Spirit, let's keep step with the Spirit. Just for the sake of today's illustration, keep time with the Spirit. The Spirit take one step, we take one step. If it's a fast song, we better be playing faster. If it's a slow song, we better slow down. So these guys had an in-ear monitor, but there was a beep and ticking sound that goes on constantly as they are worship leading, you know, constantly happening in every single one of their ears. Other people don't know. They know. And on stage, they are all keeping time because of that which is happening. I believe that one of the things that God wants to do with us is to put a metronome in our ear, hearing aid, so that every single one of us can keep time. Because we need to understand what God is doing. And the only way to understand what God is doing is to hear Him speak. The other thing that they do in the band, and this year they didn't demonstrate this. Those of you who are in the workshop, you know what I'm talking about. Last year they demonstrated this. Okay. The keyboardist, has a special mic. Okay. And so he's here, he's playing, and everybody thinks he's singing and he goes out, you know, but his mic doesn't go out to the front of house. His mic goes to the in-ear monitor of all the musicians and the singers. And so, when they enter into free worship or they decide to do something else, this guy who has this special mic that goes into all their monitors in the ear will give a direction. You say, okay, let's sing the chorus again. After one bar. You see that? All the musicians hear that, no? Of course, it doesn't come out in the front of the house. It sounds, you know, they're singing, you know, the chorus or whatever it is. And then he goes, chorus one more time. You hear, and all the musicians hear, all the singers hear that, you know, they're standing there and they hear it in their ear. And if he wants to change the key, okay, we're going to modulate after the second bar. 4, 3, 2, 1, modulation now. Everybody modulate at the same time. Wow, looks so nice, you know. Instruction given in the in-ear. When we have this hearing aid, spiritual hearing aid, the other thing that happens to us is we understand what's going to happen next. We understand what's going to happen next. I believe that as believers, God not only wants us to keep time, to keep step with Him, but He gives us a vision. He gives us instructions. He gives us the next step, what we're going to do. And the thing about God is, He doesn't give us, you know, the full works. Can you imagine this guy standing here and he's giving instructions? Okay, for this song, we're going to sing, you know, first verse twice, then after that we're going to sing, you know, chorus 3 times, then after that we're going to modulate, after that we're going to do this, after that we're going to do that. Forgotten already, by that time. He does it 2 bars beforehand. 1 bar beforehand, he says, we're going to modulate, we're going to change key, we're going to, you know, do this. We're going to play for one more key, then abrupt stop. All that instruction comes in just enough time for the musicians to hear it and act upon it. I believe that in the spirit that happens to us as well. When we have our in-ear monitors on, our hearing aids on, when we are connected with the spirit, He gives us one step ahead. He doesn't tell us, you know, our whole life story, what's going to happen. One step. Why? So that we can act on it. And we know what's coming ahead. The third thing that happens is that everybody, and I already mentioned this, everybody is in unison. Someone cannot turn around and say that, oh, I thought it was like that. Everybody is on the same page. Why? Because the rhythm is, the beat is given. Instructions are given. And everybody understands, everybody is locked in together, tight. One of the things that God wants to do with churches, with our church as well, is that we are locked in together with what God wants to do. Not only in our individual lives. Individually, we do, you know, different things that God has called us to. God has given us different gifts. So you may be a guitarist, you may be a, you know, keyboardist, you may be a vocalist, whatever. You know, we are doing and we are ministering in the area that God has called us to. But yet at the same time, there needs to be a certain unison, a unity that comes. Everybody is in sync. Everybody is locked in together. Everybody is hearing what God is saying individually. And we know what is coming ahead. And when that happens, when we put that on, there's such clarity of what God is doing in our midst. Why? Because we are hearing Him. We are hearing Him. And so today, my challenge for us is basically very simple. All right, we're going to take a couple of weeks to talk about hearing. But first thing that we need to do is ask ourselves, all right, if we are looking for God, if we are trying to hear God in the wrong places, sometimes there's hype, there's, you know, big explosions, so to speak. And even in our context, there can be big conferences. God, yes, God is there in the midst. But sometimes we can just be looking and asking, hey, looking at, focusing on certain things, and we miss where God is. He's not in the wind. He's not in the earthquake. Not in the fire. But He comes as a still, small voice. Gentle voice. Secondly, we need to be hearing. Because hearing requires a response. We need to be understanding what God is saying. And if we need hearing aids, we need to put those aids on. Cry out to the Spirit. I'm sure we'll talk about that in the coming weeks to come. How do we engage the Spirit so that we can hear Him? And as we put on the Spirit, so to speak, if we put on these hearing aids, certain things happen to us. There's greater clarity. There's greater unity. We know what God wants to do. And we know one step beforehand. Simply because we are connected to the Spirit. We are hearing Him. We started off by talking about seeing. See, yeah. A lot of times you want to see, yeah. You want to see big things, huh? You want to see God move, huh? You know. And that really is right at the end. But the thing is this, you know, God very often gives us a vision. See this. And then, right, a lot of times this happens, you know. God shows us something. What do I do? No. Or He puts something in our spirit. Okay. And we are burdened for it. We are excited about maybe, you know, a conference. Let's do this. See ya. But then we got to backtrack and start from the beginning. You know where the beginning is? Hearing. Because you can see something, but you don't hear. You don't use your ears. You don't hear what God is saying. All that can be very fleshly. So we need to pause here. Because when we hear, then the next thing comes in, you know. Touch. Hands. Or the working out. The experiencing. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Seeing is always right at the end. But today, let's think about our ears, hearing God, right? And let's ask the Lord to check our hearts once again. Say, God, I want to hear You. I want to hear You more tangibly. I want to be in sync with everybody else. So that I can be in unison, so that there can be such clarity. Lord, if I need hearing aids, tell me how to get them. Many years ago, many, many years ago, someone suggested to me, hey, you should go and get some hearing aids. And in those days, as if I'm very old like that, in those days, it's like handphone like that. Last time you got to carry handphone like a suitcase, right? In those days, hearing aids is like, I looked at him and said, no way, man, no way am I going to walk around with that. Nowadays, very cool already, the hearing aid, you can't even see it. The thing is this, okay? However, whatever God wants to place on us, sometimes we can be, yes, I need it, but I don't want it. Yes, I need hearing aids, but I don't want it. Why? Because it doesn't look cool. Why? Because it's a burden. And perhaps today God is saying, hey, you need hearing aids. In your spirit, you need some hearing aids. And in order to get those hearing aids, this is what you need to do. And perhaps there are certain lifestyle changes that needs to be done so that we can put on hearing aids. But sometimes it's so easy to say, yeah, I know I'm a bit deaf, but just do without it. Uncool. Uncool to have, this thing sticking out of your ear. Right? Can you imagine what happens when we are so connected with God and we are hearing the right thing? Let's bow our heads. As our heads are bowed, eyes closed, perhaps we need to ask the Lord right now to humble us and say, Lord, please keep me humble because I know I need those hearing aids. And I know sometimes it's so easy to say, I know I need, but I don't want, for whatever reason. But right now, God is saying to each one of us, perhaps you're looking at Him. You're looking to hear from Him at the wrong places at the wrong time. He comes in a gentle whisper. And we need to receive, make something happen when we hear. And even before that, we need to put on some hearing aids for some of us. Certain lifestyles need to change so that we can be in sync, so that we can have clarity and move as the Spirit leads us. Will we open our heart right now and say, God, help me. I need those hearing aids. I need your Spirit to come and speak to me. I need to hear what the Spirit is saying. I need to be connected with the Spirit. Father, we pray, O God, that Your Holy Spirit come and touch each one of us. Lord, in the midst of everything that we have to do, in the midst of busyness, in the midst of everything that's happening in our studies, in our work, in our home, Father, we pray, Lord, that we will be sensitive to that still small voice. Lord, we pray that we will not get distracted by the rah-rah of things, by the hype of things, but to be still. And Father, we pray right now that You would help us to hear what You are saying. Help us to be connected, Lord. Lord, we need hearing aids. We need Your Spirit to aid us so that we can hear with clarity, so that we can be united together. We can be in unison. And we will know, Lord, what You are saying. What the Spirit is saying to the church. So, Father, we open our hearts right now. And we ask, Lord, that You will come and minister to us.